Good morning, friends, and welcome to Sweet Rolls and Coffee, number 7. I hope you had a restful sleep.
Good Lord.
I hope you don't have back pain this morning. I hope you have a fresh cup of Joe in your hand. And hopefully, under the right circumstances, you've had your morning BM. So you feel free and light as we talk about some very heavy topics on this week's Sweet Rolls and Coffee.
Welcome to NPR News.
Hi, everybody. I always try and give us like a really good intro without hearing grunts and grizzles from my friend Jibs.
I don't grunt.
It's impossible.
Well, maybe I do. Maybe I do. Do I? I think I do. That's kind of how I agree. I'm like, Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I grunt.
Wow.
I'm a grunter.
Like, oh, boy.
I don't know what to do about that.
Oh, boy. This is a family show.
It's a family show.
Yeah. So, but there's a reason that we're having a SRNC number 7 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the world done welled up, got a running start, and double kicked me in the nuts.
Yeah, I did. Got them both.
And got them both.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's done the same to you.
Got them both.
Yeah, so we were having a, Jibs and I were having a conversation just over the phone, as we do, about how we've been pretty good about getting content out. Even if we don't always put out a show every week, something's coming out. So this week, because we were so busy, and to be honest with you, like, we had the time.
Yeah.
Right? Because when did I get home? I got home Thursday. We had the time. But I was so effing exhausted by the time I got home from work that we're like, let's just do a lore lesson compilation, because I think we're kind of backed up on those. And we have a part one and a part two.
Well, yeah, so where it's like, first off, yeah, we could have done one. We most definitely could have, but you'd been gone for a week. And I'm like, no, just no. We'll do the lore lesson comp. We got volume 6, so yeah, we broke that thing up into two parts. So the first part is about close to 3 hours long, and it worked out well because the final episode is when we had Lehman on the show. And so it was kind of like a good, you know, cliffhanger for the first volume. So it's good. 3 hours of lore there, man.
3 hours of lore. And then we'll do another one at another time. But so what the hell happened? I will tell you what the hell happened. COVID happened.
Yeah.
COVID happened badly. And, you know, with this spike, we're not going to speculate why this spike came back or why this spike happened. Other than, it's a massive crap ton of people that all decided to go back and do the things they do. It's like, I get it. People got to go back to work. And a lot of states lifted their stay-at-home orders and stuff, well, I don't know what, a month ago, a month and a half ago, something like that. Anyway, everybody not only went back to work, they went back to their lives and, like, forgot that COVID was a thing. And we're not even going to talk about, like, all the protesting and stuff like that. I'm out. I'm not talking about that crap. Because there's a lot of speculation that the big spike happened because of that. And I really don't know. I just think a majority of the people who went back to work. And then I see, like, even some of my own friends, they're going to parties, they're going to backyard barbecues, they're doing all kinds of stuff with their kids. And now all of a sudden, lo and behold, however the hell it happened, there's this massive spike in COVID cases. So our department got hit hard. Like, and I don't even necessarily know that it came from, you know, our guys getting sick came from going on a lot of COVID patients. Perhaps it did. Or perhaps it just came from cohabitating in fire stations with the rest of the crews. So anyway, either way, Jibs knows. I've talked to him at length about this over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, our department got hit pretty hard. And we had to send home a bunch of guys. Had a handful of guys test positive. And then we did a lot of contact tracing. And then the rest of the guys who were around them all went home to quarantine for 2 weeks. Well, the healthy people, like me, had to come and fill in the shifts. So Yeah, there was a lot of forced hiring, and then long story short, I was at work for literally 8 days straight. And in my line of work, when you work 8 shifts in a row, you don't come home for 8 days in a row. So anyway, this is not a complaint. It was just a very, very busy week. It is what it is. We do what we have to do to keep our units rolling, to keep stations filled. And I am so thankful.
You were the backup DPS.
I'm so thankful to have a job, dude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, zero complaints. But, yeah, after the 8 days, I was just exhausted. But anyway, that is why we didn't have a regular show this week.
Well, I'm glad you're home.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked the week off because it gave me extra time to work on more on the storyline. So, you know.
Yes, that's, absolutely. It is nice to take a week.
Oh, any kind of week we get right now with everything going on, it's just like, oh, thank God. Can take a breath.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of nice comments in chat. That's really cool. Thank you, guys. I do.
Oh, yeah, much love. That. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. So anyway, bud, how's your week been?
Busy. I like this. I like when we do these sweet rolls and coffee, just because I don't know what we're going to talk about. And the roles are flipped. Like, you're the main host, and, you know, I'm just the idiot who gets to talk.
The roles are flipped. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. But anyway, it's been a busy week, yeah. It's in my line of work. We're coming near the end of the month, and everyone's, you know, they're looking to meet their quotas and getting ready to wrap up summer, really, in a lot of ways, especially, you know, if they're putting fall stuff out already over here at the grocery stores. And anyway, hey, I have a funny story. I was out and about today with my wife, and actually it was the time before last when I was there. I had to make a stop there for some stuff during the week after my shift. And so in the Midwest, there is a store called Rural King. And it's like, it's literally a mixture of farm equipment, outdoor stuff, clothes, some grocery items, and guns and tools.
So, of course, guns and tools.
Like an all in one. Well, you know, right now everyone's wearing masks when they go in. And in fact, our governor on Monday, it's statewide, will be required for masks no matter where, when you're out and about. And anyway, you know, with masks, you really can't get a good look at what people look like. You just kind of, like, assume, you know?
Yeah, and, like, you have really nice eyes and a really nice forehead.
Yeah. Boy, I like that forehead. You want to go on a date?
I have a 6 head. You have an 8 head.
It's true. And
it's very true.
So, anyway, I look over next at the gun counter, and this guy's putting away ammunition. I look over. I swear to you, on everything, it looked just like the old lore master. Why am I having a brain fart now?
Our old Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls lore master. Help me with the name. Gosh, I'm
no,
having,
I'm just gonna kind of
having a dad moment.
You go.
I just hear Lehman now. That's all I hear is Lehman.
I'm gonna sit here.
He wasn't knighted. It was definitely not. I can't leave with a sir.
Hey, can. Sir.
Sir. Come on. Got it. What is it?
Sir.
You're a dick.
Lawrence.
Lawrence. Lord Schick. So anyway, thank you, Caddy. Jeez, you're not a jerk. You're helpful. Anyway, I swear to you, I thought it was Lawrence Schick. The hair was flipped back. And I'm like, Lawrence Schick's working the gun counter here in Indiana. That's where he retired to.
Why did he leave such a good job over at Zoll's?
Something about
to come and sell guns.
Because there's a certain charm in Indiana about selling guns, apparently.
Yeah, and Indiana. Oh, that's a dangerous conversation. So.
Hey, why don't you lean in the mic and say that again?
I think next we're going to do some Dwemer translations and pronunciations.
You want me to read that book? I saw you send Dwemer, me that tweet out.
We're going to have a Dwemer spelling bee. Could you imagine that?
No.
Like cat. K Q W I G H T. Dwemer cat.
Someone tweeted at me. I don't know if you knew that. And by the way, for everyone who's here listening, Sweet Rolls and Coffee, it's not a normal show. We just kind of chill and talk. It's kind of behind the scenes look at everything. Someone sent me a... Was it you that sent me that tweet?
About yeah, you said tweeted at you.
Yeah.
I tweeted it to you. There's a difference between tweeting to and tweeting at.
Well, it wasn't just you. It was another member whose name is escaping me at the moment. I'm trying to find the book. What's the name of the lore book? I told him I'd read it live on
the
air.
It's something to the effect of how to pronounce Dwemer names or something like that. I'll have it saved here.
How to pronounce Dwemer. I'm Googling this.
Yep. Right here. I'm just going to read it, dude, because this is funny as shit.
Okay.
This is funnier than hell. So, okay.
All right.
And I tweeted this to Jibs. I found this in Western Skyrim, and I pretty much laughed a lot of my parts off. Anyway, how to pronounce Dwemer words by Amadri Drevin, student. And it reads.
Oh, there it is.
There are many different thoughts on the pronunciation of Dwemer words. I just sat through a discussion with my master and several other scholars. As always, learned scholars disagree. A lot. They also love the sound of their own voices, especially when it comes to dwarven nomenclature. After sifting through Dwemer words passed down to us through history, most notably the names of places, and sitting through that long-winded scholarly review, I have distilled the knowledge to provide a guide on Dwemer pronunciation for other aspiring Dwarven scholars. How to pronounce Dwemer words. First, inhale deeply. Second, drink a full glass of mead or Cyrodiilic brandy, whichever you prefer. Inhale deeply again. Pour 4 to 7 smooth, rounded pebbles in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Attempt to say any word you like, but leave out most of the vowels and add extra consonants. Emphasize either the third or fourth syllable in an exaggerated manner, even if the word has only 2 syllables. Congratulations, you have successfully pronounced a Dwemer word. I loved that book.
Yeah.
And I tweeted it to you. No. I tweeted it to you.
No.
Number one, because it's incredibly relevant to us and our show. And number two, because I know you love Dwemer. And number three, because it is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. Dwemer the best. Dwemer best race. Dwemer is by. Bay.
Dwemer is bay. Right.
Bay. I'm always
I don't know if
wrong.
They're bi, but that's fine too.
Not for us to decide.
But like my whole point is they're amazing people that write this stuff.
Oh yeah.
And the people that write this stuff have an incredible sense of humor. And I love finding little things like that. I was like, what was the other one that I found? It's like 1,001 ways to treat slaughterfish bites or something like that. I picked that one up a couple of times, and that one was incredibly relevant for our friends in Ciro because we've been in Ciro a lot lately.
I've never seen that one. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, hey, it's freaking hilarious.
Hey, I was at our PO box yesterday, the day before, and yeah. We got some goodies. I don't know if you've seen these yet.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is, and everyone who's watching... to everyone who's listening, this is a wood-burned Lore Seekers podcast with Old Mary Dominion logo on it. I don't know what you'd call it, a wood plate, probably. But these were sent to us.
Almost like a cutting board. That's actually a good piece of wood.
Yeah, it's from this is from Cider.
Who's in chat.
Sent
Thank
this
you,
to
sir.
Us. Yeah. This is pretty cool. So it's got the Old Mary logo on it. The Lore Seekers podcast logo on it. And then on the back, this was made earlier this year, and they arrived from overseas. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Very
Thank
awesome,
you,
huh?
It was very fantastic.
Yeah, I'll get that real close
I
up.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's cool. Also, we got a letter. And this letter looks like it was drug through coffee, and then I don't know what happened to the envelope, but something happened.
Maybe it's some...
Looks like there was a struggle.
Maybe it's some cryptic way of sending a message.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate because it's soaked in coffee.
It is. Well, it's sweet rolls and coffee. Yeah. So I want to read this to you. Got a letter here. Jibs and Cash. I hope this Greymore Collector's Edition upgrade code finds you well. I wanted to give you something back to the show that keeps on giving. I appreciate everything you do each week, the values you support, and the ESO community you are building in the positive direction we all need. Have an awesome week, and I hope this gift provides joy to a member of the Lore Seekers community to explore this new chapter for free. All the best, Lore Seeker Bungo.
Lore Seeker Bungo!
Yeah.
Thank you. That is fantastic, and we miss you.
I do miss you. And this is, so I've got here a Greymore Collector's Edition upgrade code that we will be giving out very soon. So if you're, you know, if you don't attend our live shows, you really should, because you can win free stuff. We've got a stack of Torchbug cards still, plus more game cards. So,
yeah,
you should come visit.
And we have some fun stuff coming up that we're not going to announce yet, but some things that we're going to be a part of that are pretty cool.
Yeah, so, yeah,
that is going to happen. I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
You better, because this is a pretty definitive question.
Daily Double.
What in the holy hell happened to your Ebonheart Pact banner?
What do you mean? Is it not there?
It's not there!
There is no Ebonheart Pact banner. I do see a Sith holocron back there.
You do? Well, you know, once a Sith, always a Sith.
Something like that.
We also got Ron Swanson back here, too, because America is Ron Swanson.
Oh, he's pissed. Look at him.
Yeah, look at him. That's me on a Monday morning. That's me on a Monday morning. So what happened to my Ebonheart Pact banner? Well, here's the deal. I thought for the longest time I was the biggest fan of Dark Elves. Turns out I am not as dedicated to them as I thought I was, simply because of their dedication to the living gods, which I'm not about. You know, Ashlanders, that's a different story. But hang on. I got Mavis the Lore Seeker here trying to get up here. Come here, fatty. There you go. Bless your heart.
Called your cat a fatty.
Oh, dude, she's chunky. She is thick with two C's. All right. So anyway.
This is intriguing me.
So it's
please
like
continue.
I really, really like the Dark Elves. I do. I love Morrowind. It will always, you know, always mean a thing to me. But I discovered this recently. I found myself in kind of a quandary, right? So I'm like, I'm not a huge fan of the Ashlanders, but I'm also not a huge fan of the Living Gods, in particularly, and when it comes to Dark Elf lore. But I always like the Dark Elves, so that'll always, you know, that'll always be cool. But I am a fan of the Nords. I love their representation and passion for family, that especially now at Greymore more than ever. I love that. But what I love, it's not the Pact. It's not really any of these alliances. It's the freaking Dwemer. And until I get a Dwemer banner, which I don't even think exists, but currently, at least I know.
Well, when the Tinker class comes out, we'll get the Dwemer banner.
Well, yeah, that's probably what will replace it. So
dude.
So, yeah.
You just gave me an idea, though.
What's the idea?
Zoss, if you're listening, they're not. If you're listening, banners for classes would be amazing.
I would love
or
that.
Or even banners for races.
Oh, yeah.
Would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Jinxie, go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you're going to say, because then I can tell you're full of shit.
I just think it'd be cool to just have, the banners or the flags to represent the personality of the person. So Molag balls would be all kind of like tattered, you know, and just like torn a little bit.
And,
you know,
sexy.
Real dark looking. Yeah. That'd be cool. But yeah, that's really what I want, is I want something Dwemer, because that's what I'm about. I'm not about the Pact, because I'm not, full disclosure, I've never been a huge, huge fan of the guy, but after Greymore, which we're going to do a spoiler show at some point, I'm not a huge fan of the leader. Gosh, that guy drives me nuts sometimes. And I totally get the angst against him when it comes
from... Are you talking about Yoren?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you there. We might get some hate mail over this, but...
I'm sorry, but he's just... Go ahead.
So stubborn.
Ugh.
They're so stubborn. And it drives me insane. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
You do you. There's a lot of stuff about Nords that are just amazing. But Jorn, he irritates the living crap out of me.
Yeah, yeah. So I've kind of come to this conclusion that the race that I love, the what I, you know how you're passionate about the Wood Elves? Well, the thing that I'm passionate about, I may never, ever get to see. So it's just like, I'm not going to lie to myself having that up there. Like, I'm not for any alliance at all. There's just certain, excuse me, I'm like a 12. There's just certain, you know, races in the game that I do particularly enjoy. I tell you what you won't see. You won't see an Imperial banner up there. Ho-ho!
Sturdy Imperials. No, so my, so yeah, that's actually, yeah, I'm blown away. There's that. I am totally blown away. You're like super neutral guy now.
I am. It's weird. This it's a weird place to be.
Friends, friends like, at chat, friends listening, this is a pinnacle moment in the Lore Seekers podcast. Right, you are hearing it right
like Grey Jedi
now. You are like a Grey Jedi. Oh my God, that sounds so much fun. Let's be Grey Jedi.
Okay. Okay.
Only my version of Jedi is an Aldmeri Dominion. It's not so gray. It's yellow.
Bosmer. Odd. I see a whole Bosmer, lot of shades
Bobo
of yellow.
Warden.
Yeah. I just.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Chat says Imperials are neutral. Well. Well. You know.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. But yeah, it's weird. It's a weird place to be. It's just like, you know, it's which ultimately leaves you feeling like no place is home. Like that you get, like you have those real like places that really resonate with you. For me, Morrowind. For you, Valenwood. You know, all those things.
Sheezy.
But you know, being in Blackreach, that resonates because man, when you're in Blackreach and Greymoor, oh, that is beautiful stuff, man.
So now I did notice too. I did notice that the last character you're working on right now, which is a war stamina warden. You went orc.
Yeah, I actually went orc for a couple things I'm tinkering with now.
Yeah. So and I like that. Now I went Bosmer for mine, but it's mostly for RP purposes, and I like having more stamina recovery. So yeah. So my well, Bobo dude is. It just, for me, it fits 1,000% for me to have a Wood Elf Bobo Warden.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the better choice right now, if you're going kind of meta, would have been Orc. Because Orc's super shifty and quick, right?
Right, yeah.
And, ooh, you're actually rolling up.
Maybe we'll give sign this and
EP
give it away.
Banner right now.
What if we, is that... Sign it from Jibs and Cash and just give it away to a listener. Maybe
yeah.
That, maybe that'd be a thing. You guys want me to, you guys, hey, who's here? Who's down for this? Who wants?
Of course they want free stuff.
Who wants to sign Evan Hart pack banner from Jibs and Cash?
A used Evan Hart pack banner.
Lightly used, gently wiped
lightly.
With. Oh, look at chat just tee off. Okay. All right. Our death. I don't want it. I love our death. He's like one of my faves.
Hey. It's a poop on.
All right, so maybe we'll give this away live on the air, signed Evan Hart Pac-Man. Anyway, it's not that I disdain it. Let me be clear. Like I love. Dude, I'm a huge fan of Red and Black. I am Sith at heart, all day long. That's what's so beautiful about you and I.
So
you love
you
Jedi.
Are you admitting that it was the colors? You're nope. Such a simpleton.
You know what? I'm not denying that. That's for sure. But I love Sith colors. Red, black, you know, a little bit of gray, a little bit of white in there. That's good stuff. But I don't know, man. It's just coming to that realization after a couple of years. And I don't know. I'm not for any alliance, but man, Queen I Red. Woo!
Yeah, she is. She's a very special queen. So... I don't think that the choice that you made to be most interested in the Dwemer is a bad choice. It might not be over. We might find out what happened to him.
Well, yeah. I mean, shoot.
I don't know necessarily that it would be any other game other than one coming directly from Bethesda.
Yeah, that would be a direct line. Absolutely.
So here's two thoughts. We do have Elder Scrolls 6 coming out sometime in 2030, right?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, you never know. They might let us know what happened to the Dwemer there. Here is my speculation. My speculation is we're going to find out what happened to the Dwemer next year when Starfield releases.
That'd be weird.
Be awesome.
But I'd be 100% down for that.
Some kind of time-space continuum thing with a flux capacitor and 1.21 gigawatts and stuff, and then blammo, we find out what happened to the Dwemer in a completely different game.
McFly, yo, bozo. Hoverboard don't work on power.
God Howard has ascended.
Here's the deal. Like, what's the gain? Like, especially, you know, this Skyrim came out in 2011. You know, we're pushing 10 years. If this is the pace we're coming out for new single-player RPGs, I wouldn't be too hurt, even if he just gave like a little inkling where they happened to him, where they went, and if we'll see him again.
Gaddy Jack says, 2030 for Elder Scrolls 6, I'll be dead by then. Well played, man. Well played.
Cause of death, waiting for TS6.
Yeah. I'm just kidding, friends. It's not going to be 2030. It'll definitely not going to be within the next couple of years. We're going to be waiting a little bit. So. Ah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we did get another email.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You want to hear it?
Talk to me.
And this one's kind of cool. It actually brings up some interesting things that Jibs and I can talk about here. And this is from Heavy Metal, who's our Xbox North America co-GM, along with the lovely Farragul, who's in chat with us now. Anyway, it reads, "Good afternoon, Jibs and Cash. I was doing a quick listen to some older episodes of the podcast to find some recommendations to give new players. And I came across the episode where you first started discussing starting a guild.
Oh, boy.
Now, with..." What?
I said, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. "Now, with some perspective of 2 years later, the things you were mentioning are pretty amusing. Considering how many players we have recently had join, I have two questions for you. The first one... what are some things you never expected from having to run a guild of your own? And the next question," I like how he put two questions for you, one and B. "The second one, how much has the guild changed from when you first started it?
Oh,
keep
wow.
up the great work, guys, and I want to leave you with this little reminder in these difficult times." I love this. "In the 2001 Royal Rumble, Kane entered the match and eliminated 11 people over 54 minutes, all while wearing a mask. So it's safe to say you'll survive a 20-minute trip to the grocery store. Dilly dilly, boys, wash your damn hands."
Oh,
heavy.
That's funny. Oh,
I love
that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring this email up on my phone so I can look at it, because... I want to make sure and answer this correctly. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I think the way to do this would be to tell the story about where you and I came from in the realm of guild leadership.
Yeah, yeah. There's quite a few years of leadership behind this.
Right. So, Jibs and I both came from a community called MOG Nation, M-O-G, and that was a massive online gaming, basically. It was a multi-gaming community that for a long time did pretty well. We definitely had a heyday when we were over at MOG, and Jibs started as a member, and him and I hit it off, and we did some podcasting together, and then toward the end of our involvement with MOG, he was helping me lead it. So anyway, when we first started doing our podcast for this show, or for, you know, this show, Lore Seekers Podcast, him and I were not wanting a community. We just wanted to do a show, and we're just like, yeah, we are definitely not wanting a community anymore. We just want to play the game and podcast about the show, or podcast about the game. So we started it off that way, and then we ended up getting lots of people that wanted a guild in the game. Well, we knew kind of what that entailed. We didn't just want it to be a shell. We wanted it to be cool, but we also knew what we were going to have to do. And guild leadership, at times, sucks.
Your first rule of guild leadership, you're always wrong.
You're always wrong.
We actually gave that to all our guild masters, I think, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah, so... Anyway, it does suck at times, and so let's start. I want to start by answering Heavy's question here. What are some things that you never expected from having to run a guild of your own? So I think that one is kind of hard to answer because we kind of did know what to expect. Having to run a guild of our own because we had already done it before, and I think. Part of the successes that we're experiencing now with a very, very strong community is because we've had those experiences and we've been able to make those mistakes. And we're not perfect now. We're still making mistakes. But we at least have a foundation for how to do it. I think one thing that I can say that at least in this run with Lore Seekers... One thing that's been increasingly like pounded into my head is that you will never make everybody happy. That's one of the first things. And we recently had an issue where one of our code of conduct things was broken. And one of our code of conduct things is, you know, no discussing politics or religion because it's just very dangerous. And you want to talk about creating a divide in a community, that is a massive issue. So we know that everybody's adults, but adults get pissed off. Adults get offended. You know, it's not that we don't think you can't have a good conversation about stuff like that. We just prefer that you either take it privately or do it super respectfully, and we'd just rather you not do it. So that's why it's part of our code of conduct. Now, there's other things out there, and we've actually recently changed our code of conduct to allow for some of those more difficult conversations, especially with recent events in the world, as long as it's done respectfully. And then once again, we would prefer that you did it in private. But if you don't, just do it respectfully. So anyway, long story short is people come from all different walks of life. Sometimes it's difficult to, but we need to respect that people have different life experiences and different opinions. And you accept the fact that they disagree with some things that maybe you believe or others believe, and you just move on. Then there are the people that want nothing more than to have their little voice be heard. And they don't care how they do it. They don't even care if the facts are correct. They're just going to pop off and spout and do anything they can to get their little tiny voice heard. And yes, I say that with angst. Because those people are not Lore Seekers for very long. Those are the things that suck when you have to deal with some folks like that. And we're not super heavy-handed at all. I think we're pretty... lax when it comes to certain things, but there are other things that Jibs and I fully agree on, and we are a little more apt to enforce that code of conduct in order to keep our community safe and inviting and fun for everybody. Jibs.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. There's a whole lot of, kind of mimic what you said. We knew a whole lot about going into this, having a community would entail because we had spent years doing it. You know, you founded Mog Nation. I merely supported it through graphic work for a long time. And then by the end, yeah, we were running this. You, myself, and another good friend of ours was essentially holding the reins on Mog Nation. And so, you know, that was 4 or 5 years, you know, and when I stepped down, you still continued for, you know, many months afterward. And so there was a whole lot of experience. That was when, I mean, I think there's also, you know, people wonder why we're not in a podcast network, because during that time we had a network. We had show after show after show. We did it all. We've seen it all. We know how that kind of thing pans out. So we're not really interested when it comes to this, when it comes to lore seekers. And so, you know, that was one experience. Another experience was, you know, navigating an ever-changing COC to support a community that you want to be able to provide. In our case, like, when you come to Lore Seekers, you have to understand something. Lore Seekers is not a platform to spout off about. I'll use the show as an example. So on the show, we don't talk religion, politics, and we try to keep it as sexually clean as possible. That is my three rules for podcasting. Cash and I have had these three rules for the longest time, in many, many, many years.
Break number three all the time.
Yes, you do, quite frankly. But, you know, we do. That's how we've ran it. It reminds me of Iron Man 1. That's how Dad did it. That's how we're going to do it. Eh, it's worked out pretty well since then. But so with the community, you know, we kind of the same document we've used for years, but it's a living, breathing document. Cash always says that. You know, we're always changing, we're always adjusting, and we even adjusted recently the COC to allow for more things to be talked about. And it's not that we don't think people can handle it. It's simply this: like, we've done community for years, long enough to know when a door is open, there's just some people that won't walk through the door. They'll blow the door up and hit people in the process with the wood chips.
So yeah, because it's all about them.
Yeah, and so it's right. One of those things where when people are like that, it's like, look, we're all adults. We already have kids. We don't need more kids. So we're going to just shut that door and help eliminate that daycare from opening up, kind of thing. That's kind of why we do what we do. Also, to answer his question, I would say the most difficult thing, unexpected, to navigate. What are some things you never expected having to run a guild of your own? It's not so much the guild. I kind of want to extend this out into podcasting, because really, the community, when we launched the community, that was a very special day, and it's still a very special moment in my heart. So there's many people here in chat. At the stream, you know, who were some of the first members, and watching that happen, it's a very special moment. Still something that's special to me this day, and those same with those people.
Right.
But one of the things, and this goes for any show, and this is kind of like a teachable moment for anybody looking to start a podcast or looking to get into a community, it's how do you provide a place for people who want a refuge, who want a place where they can come and get their mind off of things, right? To not jack with that crap, you know, just to relax, to find a safe place for that. How do you provide that while navigating the things of the ever-changing world, the sensitivities that are happening, the things that are happening? You know, that's the thing I didn't expect, because that change hadn't happened in the world yet. So, like, things nowadays are much different than what they used to be. If you're starting a podcast in the community, those are things that you have to first and foremost think about how you want to handle certain things. You know, and so that to me really is, you know, navigating. It's like if the world was a giant tree, the trunk of a tree, you know, you've got all these branches, you know, that you have to navigate situations and things. Those are the things that I never expected, because it hadn't happened yet, kind of thing.
I like that you said that, because I mean, very plainly, what is one thing that I never expected from having to run a guild of our own? I never expected the outside world to become so toxic that it would bleed over into our little protected space.
Yeah.
And, you know, it did. It absolutely did. Like, all the things that were happening since George Floyd, doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it, it definitely bled into our community. We had to fight. As important as all that stuff is to everybody, we had to fight to keep the toxicity out.
Yeah.
That had everything to do with that. Because the lore seekers, to a lot of people, like, I can't even explain to you how much mail and messages we got about, hey, thank you very much for keeping the community protected, because this is my escape. People don't want to get the news when they come to their gaming community. Most people, I will say. A lot of people, like, that's all they want to do is debate it. So because Jibs and I have this kind of policy of keep it positive, we want everything positive. It's not that we don't feel that you're adult enough to have those conversations. You do them privately or do them respectfully. But it got downright nasty and not respectable. So we had to make some changes. And luckily for us, we didn't have to boot too many people. But some people did get booted because they were just way over the top with the things that they were saying, because they just had to have their little toxic voices heard. Well, their little toxic voices are somewhere on Reddit now. Bye.
Yeah,
you're,
it's
not
just one of the,
welcome where we're at.
No, it's one of those things where, look, that there is a code of conduct for a reason. It's to keep all of us, including leadership, all of us in check, to make sure that we are operating the best we possibly can. And when those COC guidelines are broken, you're subject to being removed. And many, I remember that day. Yes, we did have to fight. There was a whole lot of hatred, to be honest with you, just coming at leadership.
Yeah, but, and you know what? You know what we got hit on, too? I'm going to let you finish, but you know what we got hit on, too? And I don't want to go into this. Jibs and I got hit on being white dudes because we're white.
I don't
want
to go into that.
Like,
yeah,
are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't want to go into that. But yeah,
no, we're happened. Not going to, but that yeah. was a fact. That did happen. And we're just like, are you joking?
No, I don't even
want to
go.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
Now go ahead and finish your thought.
But anyway, so yeah, you know, that is the one part that stands out to me. It's more difficult now than ever for the kind of show that we do, for the community that we do, for everything that we do. It's more difficult now than ever to navigate the ever-changing world. But it's one of those things that, as long as you surrender, look, there's wisdom in a council. That's just truth. Anytime someone approaches me with something or someone else, it's okay, let me talk with Cash. Let me convene with Cash. Let me talk with staff. You know, it's never just a single decision. There's always thought going into something. That's how I would definitely encourage you, anybody who's thinking about doing something. You know, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind and make your decisions with grace and time, and don't ever let the outside pressure of the world or people in your community try to push you or force you to quickly make a decision. Always take your time, react appropriately, and think about what you're working on.
And stick to your focus. Stick to what the focus of your community or your podcast is about. That is what is most important. That's why your listeners or your members show up day after day.
Yeah.
And that's why ESO is our focus. Elder Scrolls, the lore.
Yeah,
the community, that is our focus. And that is what we decided to revolve everything around, as opposed to, you know, turning our community and our show into some political forum for people to come on. And people just didn't want that. That's not what they're around for.
Yeah. People come for ESO talk and to get a good distraction from the world. And that's what we are dedicated to continue to provide. The second question I really like: how much has the guild changed from when you first started it? Well, we just listed a little bit.
Yeah.
From an administrative point of view, it's busier now than ever. There's a very fluid, very changing COC to adapt to the community's needs. I'll be honest. I never expected it to blow up.
No.
I never expected so many people to have the same desire to join. Like, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest, you know, because I kind of put this two and two with the show. Like, I don't just see guild, I see show. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because, you know, when we came into this, I was nervous just coming back on the air after about a year and a half off. Always was into podcasting, still looking at things. Ideas were always rolling, but we never did anything. During that period, because kind of took a break and leveled up in life and things. But I'll be honest with you, coming back, there was that fear, legit fear of, is anyone going to listen? And then we're like, do we? And then the next conversation was, do we do a guild for this? Like, do it, it was just like, oh man.
And I think the first answer was a resounding hell no. We don't want to do that.
It's true. It's true. But in that though has proven that. I mean, yes, there's bumps along the way in any kind of community that you run organization, especially, you know, recently with everything, how the outside world really kind of powered and tried to force its way in. You know, overall, just seeing how people react, there's sometimes I turn my status offline and I'm watching the channels because I want to see how our guild, I want to see what members or how they're talking when staff isn't visibly present.
At least that's not creepy AF, but whatever.
Well, hey, you know, it's in general chat channels. It's not DMs. That'd be weird. But, you know, so I just want to see, like, and just watching people communicate and just talk and share laughs and, you know, funny stories and memes. It's cool, man. It's cool. Because it's look at them go.
I think that's part of, it's part of leadership in anything you do, not just a video gaming community, but yeah. Part of leadership is being there amongst your friends. And, you know, I consider them friends. Like, when we absolutely do, because we're playing the same game that you are. And this community is not about Jibs and Cash. Jibs and Cash and the show might be the reason that you are here, but Jibs and Cash don't see it that way. Jibs and Cash...
Mm-mm.
All we're doing is trying to, you know, move the community forward, do all the little administrative things. But our community and Lore Seekers, the greater Lore Seekers community, is not about us. It is Mm-mm. about what has been built. It's about the family that we have now. And you call me delusional. You could say that we're overly positive. Like, I really could give an F less if that's what you think. If that's what you think and that bothers you. It's probably not the place for you because, yeah, we are a couple of very positive people. And, yeah, we do our best to keep the negativity out. We will fight for our folks to keep the negativity out of the show and out of our communities. And that's kind of the long and short of it. I mean, you know, Jibs nailed it when he answered the second part of the question, how much does the guild change when he first started it? Like, we had to make some difficult decisions as leaders. We had to replace some officers who weren't doing things that we were asking over and over again because the community was growing and we needed the help.
You have to adapt, man.
You have to adapt. And some people do not like change, especially some people online.
No.
Well, you know, you said that this is how it was going to be. Well, I did, but I'm sorry. Things have changed. We're way, way busier than we thought we were going to be, and that is what it is. So you either adapt to the change or you get steamrolled by it. That is life. And it's the way it works. And we tried to do it very nicely, and, you know, some leaders have to make hard choices sometimes.
I know, it's one of the things. It is what it is, you know? Yeah. And look, I remember when what was it? I think it was a screenshot. It was Twitter. It was Twitter followers. We had a certain low, somewhere in the hundreds mark. And I was just like, wow, cool moment. And then, you know, you see people join the Discord and you're like, wow, cool. Look how many members are here. And all these people are joining up. And, it's just, you know, as it kept getting bigger, I mean, and that's the biggest thing and that's another encouragement I would give to people, like, adapt. You have to adapt. There has to be changes. There has to be new requirements. There may be things that has to be done that maybe you don't particularly enjoy doing, but you have to concede to doing if you want to maintain whatever you're working on, you know? You got to find ways to make those things work. That's business. That's not community. That's not entertainment at that point. That is business. That's how businesses are ran. That's how you do things. And I see it the same way. I'm a business admin, administrator background, management, and all that stuff. So that's how I see this. It's just an ever changing and ever adapting community that really does a thing of maintaining its focus and doing its best. And like you said, like, we'll never get it I mean, we'll never be perfect. Nobody's perfect. And if we're pleasing everybody, I and Cash are doing something wrong.
Or something incredibly right. Or we're drugging everybody.
But, you know, it's definitely been a memorable time in life, that's for sure. It's been, there's been ups, there's been downs, there's been good times, bad times, great times. And, I'll be honest. I never dreamed that it'd be like this. You know, there's
no way.
This many things happening and people, one of these days, like, and chat saying, oh, Chips is a lurker. Well, yeah, when you sit back and you just watch the community go and you're just like, wow.
You're proud.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, that's what it is. It's like, I don't want people to see me. I want them to see the community. I want them to see their fellow guild member, you know.
Right.
Don't see us. Because at this point, Lore Seekers is bigger than Cash and Jibs.
Yeah.
So for just sitting back and just watching, it's just like, wow, look at them go. Look at them go. You know, leadership doing their thing. I never dreamed we'd have a trade guild.
I wouldn't either. But I think where the guild has gone, where the overall community has gone, is largely in part to Jibs and I, and with the help of some of the other officers, bringing the right people into the right positions and just let them lead. Let them do their thing. If they need help, they can always come talk to us. But for the most part, like, this whole thing has worked exactly how we wanted it to work. It's all about ESO. There is a super great positive vibe in our community. We really don't care if you don't, you know, if other people don't like that positive vibe or whatever, or that we fight for it. That is what we do. Yeah. And we have great people in great positions and they're leading. And for us to kind of stand back and just watch that whole thing happen every day, or pop into general chat to say good morning and, you know, 50 people have already been having this conversation about how great their morning is and posting memes and all this great, amazing stuff. And people are making gear for each other and, you know, getting their trials set up. And we have a great EU group over there. They're doing trials all the time. And we see them in chat. It's just, it blows our minds to see all that stuff going on around us. And it started with recording a couple of idiots talking about a game.
That was a really good email. It was kind of a fun retrospective, you know, looking back on things. And
right.
We're working towards our third year, but good man, I'm going to be honest with you. It feels like working into our fifth year. You know, it's just like, it feels like it's not been that fast. It just feels like it's been a lot longer. But maybe that's just the friendship talking. You know,
are you years and years tired of being my friend?
Years and years of putting up with you every week.
Are you tired of being my friend?
But anyway.
So are we want to go into this next topic, or are we going to...
I don't remember the topic.
I do. I'm actually I'm intrigued to see what our listeners say, what our friends on Twitch say.
Oh, I know what this is. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to go into this next topic. It is completely off the cuff. And by the way, Heavy, thank you very much for that email. That sparked a really good conversation. I'm very appreciative of that. Okay, so recent article. We're just talking about how we're not bringing the real world into our show. We're doing it right now. Recent article. I can't see if you're trying to show me something.
I'm showing chat. Mavis, the Lore Seeker, is currently sacked out.
Oh, little buddy.
Doing the whole cute kitty paw face. That's for them. Not you. Continue.
Okay, so there's a recent article that just came out, and this is from, it's called The Intelligencer, which it's a magazine, like an online magazine. I think it's part of The New Yorker. Anyway.
Yeah.
The Pentagon has reportedly found off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. So... this is a pretty widely debated topic, obviously. The fact that there's extraterrestrial beings out there. But it seems with some recent things that are happening, at least the U.S. government is starting to be a little more forthright with some of this information.
Yeah.
So this says, in March, astrophysicist Eric W. Davis, who spent years working as a consultant for the Pentagon UFO program and is now a defense contractor, gave a classified briefing to the Defense Department on what he called off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. In other words, spaceships.
What article? Where is this at again?
This is it's at nymag.com. The Intelligencer is the name of the and this is like, this is not crazy talk. I don't know how, what you guys feel about extraterrestrial beings.
Oh yeah, there's the article. Okay.
But there is so much evidence out there that it's absolutely real. And like, how can we look out at, how can you just from a base perspective, how can you look out at the stars and think, yep, we're the only people around. We're the only beings in this entire universe. That makes zero sense. Like, am I wrong?
No, honestly, you know what? I used to be such a huge skeptic. I really did. I really, really did. And then things recently coming out, I'm a huge fan. I'll be honest. I don't listen to a whole lot of other podcasts. I listen to mainly Joe Rogan. If I don't listen to Joe Rogan, it's the Xbox IGN podcast, because I'm also an Xbox guy. So, you know, listening to the Joe Rogan interview they had with the naval pilot.
Yes.
Which they've now unclassified things, and they're talking about this thing and the things that were moving frantically going in as far as in the ocean. This is out in the ocean, you know. And, you know, now you can see the unclassified footage from the government.
Yep.
And why this thing was what they say it was. And you know what? At this point, it's 2020. Nothing's off the table.
You're right. Like, that's probably, you know, the next thing is that we're going to get freaking alien invaded. But if you're interested in that, by the way, Joe Rogan is probably one of the best podcasters out there, period. He's amazing. He's a great interviewer. He interviews Commander David Fravor and Jeremy Corbel, who are Jeremy Corbel is a extraterrestrial like expert type guy. And then Commander David Fravor was actually in the air on maneuver. This happened like right off the coast of Southern California, where I live. It was actually off the coast of Coronado, where they were on maneuver and they were rerouted, like not a drill type of thing. They were rerouted to investigate some type of a unidentified flying object. I think they're calling it something different nowadays. Anyway, some type of an unidentified flying object in the area that they had been seeing over and over again for like a couple of weeks. And they ended up flying and locking on to this thing, which looked kind of like a Tic Tac. But there's actual footage of them radar locking onto this thing and following it around. And then the thing just poof, like disappears, like in a split second. Acceleration that nothing built on Earth could achieve. And like more and more of this stuff is starting to come out, because the military is, you know, they're really the ones out there that are monitoring the air. They're investigating it when stuff happens. And for the longest time, they were keeping all this stuff under wraps. And now it's finally starting to come out a little bit, which makes it incredibly intriguing and a whole lot scary that there's stuff out there that is better, faster, more intelligent potentially than we are. So anyway, I wanted to bring this up so people kind of, and this is Sweet Rolls and Coffee, right? This is kind of just Jibs and I talking about different things that we personally believe in. So if I was having a conversation with him on the phone, this is probably what you'd be hearing. Absolutely believe in aliens. So.
This is exactly what you get. Sweet Rolls and Coffee is essentially a phone call. And sorry, I had to step away for a hot second. As you started talking, I kid you not, my house starts shaking. I walk upstairs. There's nothing going on. Absolutely nothing. My cat's staring at me like, what's up? So anyway, I'm back. All right. Oh. Anyway.
Well, maybe you just experienced your first Indiana earthquake.
Cash, cat, what? Jeb's wearing his underoos. Jeb's, are you wearing pants? Yes, I'm wearing cargo shorts. Why are you looking at my... Why are you looking down there?
Well, because you kind of just slid off the camera. You didn't really stand up, so you slid to the side.
So yeah.
They're like, he's wearing boxers for sure.
What do you think I am, a streamer? A dress to impress up here? It's like a business up top, party down below? Wow, yeah, that's really bad. So, all right. Yeah. Anyway,
I'd like to bring this up again. Maybe in a future Sweet Rolls and Coffee where we do nothing but talk about freaking aliens.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
That would be super fun.
And just have some fun. Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, so be...
Worst case scenario, nothing happens. Then.
Yeah, Sweet Rolls, coffee, and spaceships. Because...
There you go.
I totally believe in it, you guys.
I didn't used to, and then I started seeing things, and then you hear stories about presidents, documented cases. There was a president in the United States.
Yeah.
Name's escaping me. Was at this location, was no longer at this location for a solid 4 hours. Secret Service could not find him. He shows up at an Air Force base 45 minutes south with absolutely zero reason why, other than they think that there was stuff going on there. So it's just like you and that's a documented case. That's a documented story from way back when. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah,
you know, and then you see stuff like that with a Joe Rogan show, and you hear those things, and it's like, why would this guy, who's a fighter pilot, he's decorated, he's legit mentally, he's sound, everything's good, why would he lie? What could he possibly have to lie about? There's absolutely no reason for this. I mean, this guy is vetted. I mean, vetted to the teeth,
right,
with service to not only the United States but also just in other things, and it's just like, and then you see the footage.
Yeah.
As it's unclassified, and you're like, oh, okay, all right,
there is a problem. There's actually been there's been other cases where there's speculation that the aliens, or you know, some type of an extraterrestrial being, is using our oceans to basically hide out. And there was one, I don't know if you'd heard about this one, Jibs, where they had dropped some type of military munition, very large, into the ocean, and they were recovering it.
Oh, I remember this.
Remember this one?
Yeah, dude.
So there was a helicopter hovering over the top, and they were literally pulling this big, giant capsule out of the ocean. But as they were pulling it up, something else pulled it down. Like, continually started to pull it down. So they let go of the thing. Yeah. And this thing just went, like, right back down into the water for some unknown reason. Like, something was literally pulling it back down. And they just went, we're out. That one's staying. And they left.
Like, well, yeah. Well,
what?
Another part to that story, during that, so the guys in the helicopter are looking down. You know, these are... What was it, servicemen? I forget exactly where, you know,
probably
what branch or what this was.
Yeah, maybe Coast Guard or something, but I don't know.
But they were looking down, and so while they're pulling this thing up, they've got guys in the water, right? Well,
right.
At this point, they're trying to get, you know, hey, there's something coming up with you. There's something that's not what we're pulling. Hey, come on, get up. It was a huge, some kind of shadow that kind of encompassed this thing, right?
Right. Yeah,
and,
you tell
and that was did. That was when the whole, like, oh crap moment happened, and that's when they're like, all right, we're out. And so it's the things that's the stories that come from, it's not the people really, like, you know, regular citizens that gets my attention. It's the things that regarding the government and the things regard, like, they're being unclassified, especially recently, and you see people, you know, like, it's just like, wow, kind of makes you wonder, huh? So
it does. If you're interested in that Joe Rogan podcast, it's number 1361.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
Of the Joe Rogan Experience, Commander David Fravor and Jeremy Corbell. It is incredibly interesting. And if you've never experienced Joe Rogan's podcast before, he is fantastic. absolutely fantastic. He's a really good interviewer and very intelligent guy. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
We've been doing this for an hour. It feels like we've been doing this longer than an hour. It's been a good conversation.
Yeah, it's been a really good conversation. Fun. Super fun one, though.
It's been a good one. Hey, you got a new board.
I did get a new board.
You got new gear.
I did. I'm actually going to put a picture of it on Twitter later. All right. But yeah, I got the Rodecaster Pro. And I retired the Go XLR. So.
Yeah, you're sounding good.
Thank you. Well, that was off of your recommendation, so.
Oh.
I really like it.
I'm glad you listened for once.
It's very sexy.
It's a very, very hot piece of material. By that, I mean technology.
Yeah, Veronica Vaughn. So hot.
Oh, man. Well, this has been fun.
This was a good one.
I definitely enjoyed this. Well, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yes. I think it's kind of a fun little format to do something ESO, something from the community, and then a completely off-the-cuff topic for us to cover about, I don't know, maybe real-life events. Actually, paranormal came up.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
That's a whole different other show.
That's a whole ball game.
I'd have to get my wife in for that one.
Ooh, they may actually find that quite interesting.
They might find it very interesting.
You know, you do on your new board. You've got new slots for new microphones. So you can have up to three people with you now.
Yeah, fun fact, friends. My wife is a medium. She's outstanding.
That's a fun time.
Yeah.
Welcome behind the scenes with Chibs and Cash.
I know. Welcome to my life.
Welcome to my life. Oh, man. Well, it's been... therapeutic. I find these episodes therapeutic.
Yeah, it's fun.
Absolutely. Friends, do you want to finish it? I don't want to take the reins on. I don't want to steal your reins. Steal your thunder.
Thank you for joining us on this week's Sweet Rolls and Coffee.
Oh my God.
If you're traversing the beautiful lands of Somerset in search of purple and gold coffers, may luck ever be in your favor, and wear a helmet, because war is hell.
This is the tone I use when I talk to the gentleman in the stall next to me in the bathroom.
What the f- Dilly frickin' dilly, friends. I'm hitting the button because that got weird.
Deuces, everybody.